Good morning. I know it says Davis is doing the announcements, but obviously I'm not Davis, so sadly he was sick. So welcome to Baptist Men's Day here at Flat Springs. If there are any visitors today, there's a guest card in the pew. If you could just fill that out and drop it in the offering plate when it comes by. Regarding announcements, the feasibility meeting for tomorrow night has been postponed. I do not know the actual when it's postponed to. And there's no FSYC practice this afternoon. Also, there is a meeting outside the door after the service for anyone interested in the discipleship meetings, just to establish a time and a night to meet. Are there any announcements that I haven't been informed of? Well, seeing none and hearing none, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. I pray that you lay something on all of our hearts today, Lord, and open them and help us to take something away from this worship service, Lord. And pray that you bless us now, Lord, and in your name I pray. Amen. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Sorry about that. I think we got a little bit out of order. But this is our RA group. And they wanted to... Well, you got to get out. Short one's out behind the podium. All right. So we're going to do our RA pledge. And right hand up.
Who's going to lead?
No. Start us off.
As a royal ambassador, I will do my best to become a well-informed, responsible follower of Christ, to have a Christ-like concern for all people, to learn how to carry the message of Christ around the world, to work with others to share in Christ, to keep myself clean and healthy in mind and body.
Good job. Continue in worship as we sing hymn number 581. We have heard the joyful sound. Let us stand as we sing.
Amen. this day that we can come together to worship in your house. Please take this offering to better your kingdom. Amen.
Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And also Joshua 1:9, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go."
On this mountaintop, looking just how much we've done, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful, it's true. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful, it's true. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Carried by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace. Never once, no, we never walk alone. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Every step we are breathing in your grace. Evermore we'll be breathing out your praise. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. It's true, you are faithful, God, you are faithful.
Faithful. Let's stand and sing 579, Shine Jesus Shine. 579, let's stand as we sing.
Please refer to your bulletin for prayer requests and concerns. I have a name to add to that. Is the daughter of Betty Lou Burns, Nora Ann Beasley. And as you're looking over your bulletin, are there any other concerns or requests at this time? With that, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we take this time to come before you to pray for the names on this list and to the others that may not be on this list, but in our hearts and on our minds. Please be the merciful healing hand for all in need. In these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now I'd just like to introduce our guest speaker this morning is Stephen Scully, and with the message that the Lord's laid on his heart. Thank you.
Thanks, Davis.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Well, it's exciting to be here. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start out this morning with just a verse I want to read, and I'm going to go ahead and get into the message this morning. But that's for 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 11, it says, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom the praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I should say a word of prayer. Father, I just come to you this morning to just give you thanks thanks and praise, Father, for who you are and just the opportunity to be here at Flat Springs. And, Father, I just pray for this church. It's a lighthouse to this community, Lord, and I just pray that you'll continue to hedge upon them and continue to bring people here to this church so they can hear the word and ultimately they can get to the foot of that cross, Father. That's what it's all about. We give you all praise and glory today. Just give me wisdom, Father, and let those that need to hear today, let them hear the words, and we give it to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Normally I like to walk and talk, so I'm a big walker and talker, but I'm gonna stay behind here as much as I can. I almost feel like a caged animal, but my wife and I, my wife is here with me this morning, Michelle, and Mish and I, we've been married for 22 years now. We have lived in Sanford for 20 years, so we consider Sanford home. We've got two children. We've got an 18-year-old son, Griffin, and my daughter will be 17 next week, next Monday. Her name is Hannah. They both go to Grace Christian School. They're just wonderful kids. We're truly blessed with the children that God has given us and has given us the stewardship over. So we take that serious, and we're just blessed because they're good so far. And we know we got to continue to pray and pray and pray. So it is a major, major blessing. We both are members. We attend Grace Chapel Church. Been at Grace since 2004. Right now I'm serving as the chairman of the deacon board over at Grace. We've been through a lot in the last year, and I know there's been a lot of churches that have been praying for us, and we just thank you for that. We truly do. And God is able, and God's doing a wonderful job, and His work is being done, and there are so many miracles that are going to be shared in the testimonies over at that church. So we're really excited about what God is doing at that place. Since 2005 over at Grace, I've actually served. I've done a lot of I'm going to get into a little bit of my testimony and kind of give you a background of what got me here today. In 2005, I actually started over at Grace doing outreach and teaching and doing evangelism. So if there's a gift, and thank you, Davis. Davis said, can I introduce you? He said, Pastor said, you know, what do you want? I said, just say Stephen Scully. I don't have a title. I don't have initials, doctor. But what I do have is I've got the Holy Spirit living within me, and I'm excited about that. What I do is I share. I go and I walk and I talk. So if I have a title, I'm an evangelist. But what I want to share with you is kind of where I got started and where I am today. I grew up going to church. My mom and dad did the best that they knew how. And I went to a Catholic church. I went to a private Catholic school. And I'm thankful for the background because there I was actually taught about God. I was taught about Jesus. So as I was growing up, when I was your age, guys, I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. But I didn't have a relationship with Him. I had all the head knowledge. I can tell you about all the stories. I can tell you about the parables. But that's all I could do. I could just regurgitate what I was taught. But I didn't take it serious. When I left school, I left church. And when I left church, when I left school, I went to the Marine Corps. And in the Marine Corps, I didn't even see a church. I didn't go to church. I got out. I met my wife. I asked my wife, I said, what are you? And Pastor, she said, what do you mean? I said, well, what are you, a Catholic? She says, I'm nothing. I said, you're nothing. I said, well, you're going to be a Catholic because if you're going to marry me, we got to do it in the Catholic Church. She said, okay. So we took some classes, and we stamped her just like I was stamped as a baby, Catholic. And we had a ticket to heaven, right? So we thought. Well, Mish and I, we didn't go to church. The next time we went to church is probably for the next or maybe a funeral or a wedding that occurred, so we went back to church. Well, when we moved to Sanford in 1994, we didn't go to church. And it was kind of different down here because everyone was going to church. So we heard about it, but yet we didn't go because we didn't have a need. We felt like we didn't have to go to church. Well, when we had our first son, or our only son, our first child, you know what we did? We went to church. So morally, something that my mom and dad had taught us was to go to church, and maybe that was the right thing to do. Well, Mish and I, we decided that we're going to go to church, so we went to church. That's all we did. We didn't get involved. We just went. Then we had Hannah, and we went to church. But we didn't go all the time. We just kind of went every once in a while. But during that time, I was really, really busy, and I was building a business. And when Adam Gaines called me a few weeks ago, Adam said, will you come talk to the men's group? And I said, absolutely, sure. And then Davis showed up, and he said, the order of service is. So I know what that meant. I said, okay, that's fine. But the message I was going to bring to the men is the decisions that you make in life lead to your priorities in life. Okay? So the priorities that you've set in your life are based on the decisions that you made. You made those decisions. So wherever you are in life today, it's because of what you decided to do. Now, I understand that there are some circumstances out there that lead people to do certain things. But generally, the way you prioritize your life is based on decisions that you've made. The decisions that I made back then, now I'm going to talk about the 90s, okay? I'm not going to talk about pre-90s. Pre-90s, you didn't like me. I was actually a really, really bad person. People thought I was a nice person, but inside I knew who I was. I wasn't a good person at all, okay? But in the 90s, these are my priorities. And this is if I talk to the men, and sometimes when I'm in a group of just men, I get a little bit, I'm not going to do that this morning because I'm not looking at a lot of men. And so I don't want to go there. But the first thing in my priority list was wealth. I based my success, I based my self-worth on my wealth. If I can attain wealth, it means I've done something. Right, guys? Wealth is important, but it's really not that important. The second priority in my life was my health. See, I wanted to stay healthy enough to go enjoy the wealth. I like to play golf. I would go play golf 2-3 times a week and think nothing of it because it was what I want to do. And that's what Stephen did. I went and I played golf. I did whatever I wanted to do because I had the money to go do it. The third thing I put in my priority list, gang, was my family. And you know why? Because they were there. I just felt a responsibility because I was married to my wife. And now we had 2 children, so I felt it was my responsibility. So that's kind of where they fell in my priority list. Now, and fourth was God. God was not a part of my life. God was a part of my life. But I didn't seek him. I didn't look for him. I didn't talk to him. I ignored him. God was so far on my priority list because I didn't need him, so I thought. Well, in 1999, I met some businessmen out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And those men, and this is what I want you to really, really understand, is that I met a group of guys that they met me, and Pastor, they knew something was wrong. They knew I wasn't a Christian. They knew I had the ability to do things, and I can create business, and I can do. But there was something in the inside that was missing. They knew it, and I knew it. See, the thing is they knew I was so empty on the inside. They put their arms around me, and they loved me when I was that horrible, horrible person. See, they were Christians. They were Christ followers. They were following Christ. See, we use the word Christian so liberally here in America. Everyone's a Christian. When I walk these streets, everyone's a Christian. Everyone, but they're not. A Christian is a Christ follower. Are you a Christian disciple? A disciple is someone that believes and accepts a doctrine and they help to spread and assist that doctrine. I'm a Christian disciple. The men that met me were Christian disciples. They wrapped their arms around me. They told me they loved me. They told me they were there for me. And in January, of all places, I was in Baltimore, Maryland, and I found the Lord. See, God didn't find me. He knew exactly where I was. I had to go find him, and I found him in Baltimore, and I got so excited. I got so excited, I didn't know what to do, because, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it talks about, you know, when you become in Christ, you know, all things are new, and that became me. I became that new creature in Christ, and I was so excited. I didn't know what to do with it, and when I went home and I told my wife, I didn't even have to tell her. She knew. My wife knew immediately something was wrong with me. She was scared of me. I start reading this Bible late at night, and I was praying, and I became nice. But I had men. My mom and dad were beautiful people. They really were. My dad's been gone 15 years now. I don't know where he is. If I were a betting man, he didn't have the relationship with Christ that I do today. And it's sad because he was a wonderful, wonderful guy. And he worked hard, and he did the best that he knew what to do with. But see, my dad never taught me how to be a husband. He never taught me how to be a father. So these men, they taught me how to be a husband. They taught me how to be a father. Gang, they were discipling me. Not just in this word, but in life. They taught me what it was to be a man. and I start to love my wife. Back then, with my priority, now it shouldn't surprise you, having wealth, health, family, thank God, I was losing my wife and my children. I didn't have a proper relationship with my wife. But today I do. We sure do. But Mish was so afraid of me, and her name's Michelle, but I call her Mish or Mish woman, so if it comes out, that's who I'm referring to. But Mish was so afraid of me because you know what? She was waiting, Darlene, she was waiting for that old me to pop back up. And it scared her. And she was fighting it. She just wanted me to come back out. Mm-mm. I became a new creature. And I was excited about what I had. Now, my priorities shifted and they changed. And I'm not saying it wasn't like this. Because discipleship is time. And I made decisions in life to change. I made decisions to get around these men. Every day for over 3 years they poured into my life. And I was with them. I talked to them. And I hungered for them. And they taught me. They got men of God. And Pastor, they would come and they'd sit and they would just teach. And they would just pour their lives into us. And it was incredible. And I learned so much. 2004, I went over to Grace Chapel Church because they said, you need to go find a church. They said non-denominational. I didn't even know what that was. But kind of leading into that, my priorities did shift. And I bet you can almost kind of guess where they went. First of all, God became the center point and the number one in my life. He's number one. He is today. He was back in 2000, and he is today. My wife and then my children are my second priority. My decisions are based off of what the Lord wants me to do, and then for my family, for my wife and to my children. That's the most precious that I have in this world. The third thing is my health. See, I don't eat real good. I eat a lot of Bojangles. And so I confess it, you know, I'm still a sinner. And so I eat a lot of Bojangles. But I'm trying to stay healthy enough to be here long enough to enjoy it. But you know what? This isn't the end for me. And I'm all right when I leave. If I left tomorrow, don't feel bad for me. Just be real happy. Celebrate that. But that's the third thing in my priority list. The fourth thing in my priority list is my wealth. I don't work nearly as hard as I used to work. I don't work the hours. My wife would say, you still work hard, or you work long. But I try not to. It's not the most important thing. It's good to have things, guys. It's really nice to have things. It's nice to be able to splurge every once in a while. It's good to have a nice home and to have vehicles that work. We don't have big, fancy, brand-new vehicles. But the decisions we made in life that Michelle and I made in life aren't about us anymore. Now our decisions have really shifted to our kids. Andrew's in the back. That was awesome. Thank you. Andrew and Griffin, they played soccer together when they were little. And you know, it's a blessing. I just found out Andrew's going to go to Liberty University. My son Griffin, he's going to go to Columbia International. It's in South Carolina. And he wants to do sports ministry. And it just tickles my heart. Because he came in a few months ago and he said, Dad, I think I know what I want to do. I said, what's that, son? He said, sports ministry. I said, okay. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm a partner in a nonprofit organization. And I've been to several countries. I've walked a lot of miles. I've shared with thousands of people. I've seen hundreds come to Christ. And it's a major blessing. And now knowing that my son wants to get involved. And he said, Daddy, will you support me? I said, sure, we will. Of course we will. So we'll go ahead and we'll get him started one day, and Lord willing, he'll be doing sports ministry here and abroad, different areas. So I'm excited about that, but it's just really, really good to know that once you set your priorities properly, everything gets into alignment. My life is not perfect. It's not easy, but it's real good. It's real good. Okay? I won't even get into what I used to do. It's not fun. But I want to talk about the gift. See, the gift I received was really important. It's just like when you receive a gift. If you have a child, let's say, do you have children? Okay, you have children, you get them a brand new pair of shoes, and the first thing they do is they run over to Meemaw and Peepaw's house, and they go, look at those shoes. And then they run real fast. Why? Because they're excited, and they want to share it. And they want you to know, hey, I got a brand new pair of shoes. It's kind of like when Darlene goes home and Mark comes in and says, he says, babe, I love you, and here are the keys and the title to a brand new, whatever, it may be a brand new Corvette or Jaguar. What do you want? You know, Mark, if you really love her, no. And I just said that's fourth. So as long as you've got God first, family, and you good. Then go ahead and get the Corvette. But you know what? Darlene's going to get so excited. She's going to scream. She's going to kiss him. She's going to hug him. She's going to yell for the kids and say, look what Dad got. And then she's going to start calling people. Why? Because she's excited. She just received a really, really neat gift. And she just wants to tell people. She wants to share it because it's exciting. But now everyone here, maybe not everyone, but most of us, we've got that sweater in the closet you're not too excited about. And it only comes out when Aunt Sally comes over. Right? You know, you just put it on, and that way she sees it. And she says, oh, dear, you still wear my sweater. Yes, Aunt Sally. It's wonderful. And when Aunt Sally leaves, you know what happens? You put that sweater back in the closet. Don't let Jesus be that sweater in the closet. Don't let Jesus be that sweater that you stick in the back of the closet and you only pull it out once in a while. Most precious gift you have, if you're a Christian, you can hear the sound of my voice, is your testimony. But everyone has a testimony. But the most important thing you possess in this world, I'm telling you, is your Christian testimony. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and we know that. But it says, for the wages of sin is death. So for your sins, you're going to be separated from God. It says, but. And whenever you see the word but in the Bible, woo, be real careful what comes after that. You better pay attention. It says, but the gift of life is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. You don't have to go to church to get it. You just can't go to church to get it. You just can't read your Bible and get it. You can't be good enough to get it. God expects us to be good. So people, they say, well, Stephen, I'm a good person. I said, well, that's wonderful. You're doing the basics. We expect you to be good. It says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You've got to get through Jesus by understanding. It says, God commendeth his love towards you. And while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. That word commendeth means prove. God proved he loved you, Davis. And he died. Even though he knew you were a sinner, he still died on the cross for your sins. That is precious. Don't let him be that sweater in the back of the closet. He bore it all. And it hurt him. If I had a big rock right now, I'd pound it into that ground. I'd pound it and I'd get there. And he hung on it for you, for me. And we just take it like, eh, it's okay. I believe it. I have accepted. I'm going to heaven. God doesn't want a casual relationship with you. He wants it all. See, I have old man syndrome. These are the glasses, kids. I was with a youth group, and they told me I had OMS, and I was like, what are you talking about, OMS? And they're like, yeah, you got old man syndrome. I was like, oh, okay, I admit it. But the thing is God doesn't, he wants it all. He doesn't want a casual relationship with you. He wants you to fellowship with him. It's all he desires. If you think about your friendships that you have with people, what kind of a friendship is it if all I did was call you when I had a problem? All I did was call you when there's something wrong and I need you to fix it. You don't have too many friends like that, do you, that you stay friends with long? You know? And what happens is if you get out of fellowship with God, you start to avoid him. You start to, it's kind of like if I owed Mark $20 and I was at the soccer field. Now, I know I owe him $20. He knows I owe him $20. Whether or not I have the $20 or not. If I don't want to give him the $20 and he's walking down this side of the field, I'm going to go down that side of the field. I will avoid him. Don't avoid God. Just go to him. I don't know where everyone is with your Christian walk today. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. It really doesn't. Just understand that you make the decision not to fellowship with him. He hasn't done anything wrong to us. It's our responsibility to commune with him. He wants to sup with you. He wants you to want him. It's really, really important. The other thing I was going to talk to the men about is what decisions can you make that are going to help other people? What decisions can you make personally? How can you set your priorities not just to help yourself, but to help others and to be there for other people? It may be when you're driving down the road. Now look, sometimes, this is the thing, church. I'm not sure if the church, when I say church, I'm talking about all the churches, Grace included. I'm not sure if most churches are ready for the messy people. James warns us in that chapter 2. Read that today if you get a chance. Don't avoid the messy people. When you see that person in the parking lot, and it may be at the Walgreens, or it may be at the gas station, it may be somewhere, and they just look like, man, the world is just shattered around them. You don't know what they've been through. Walk in the store, buy them a bottle of water, walk over, just say, this is for you. You know Jesus loves you. And walk, if that's all, some people say, Pastor, my gift's not evangelism. I don't talk. You don't have to be an evangelist to go and talk to people. You just have to care about them. You have to love them. I'm not a very compassionate people or person, so my wife says. But I love people. I don't care where you are. I've been to some places and I have literally sat in urine on the ground with people. And I just want to sit there and let them know that, you know what? Hey, you're sitting in, I'm going to sit in, I love you. And God loves you too. Will you listen to me? And they'll listen. They just want to know that you care. What decisions can you make this week to let other people know that you genuinely care about them? And you will start to show them that you're a Christian. Just being kind in general isn't quite good enough. But when you go out of your way and you help people and you show them that I'm doing this because I care, we'll be a better place. And then what can we do to build the kingdom? Building the kingdom is going out there and reaching others that are lost. The kingdom added two more souls. I was saved in January 2000. My wife was saved January 2001. She's a slow learner. No. No. She needed time. Like I said, when I said, what were you? What are you? She said, nothing. My wife went to church when she was a teenager. She went two times by herself. She walked down around the pond. She went into a Presbyterian church. She sat there. No one said anything to her. She got up and she left at the end of the service. She went back the following week and no one said anything to her. No one greeted her with a smile. No one talked to her. They just ignored her. She got up and she left. The next time she went to church when she married me. Don't pass people by in the streets, people. Smile, say hello, love on them. Just do what you can do. And again, your decisions are, especially men, your decisions are not just going to impact yourself, but they're going to impact your family. They're going to impact your children. Mark and Darlene made a decision to have their kids in church. They made a decision to fellowship with the Lord. They made a decision to get into Bible studies. They made decisions that their son is now going to go to Liberty University. That's precious. There's generational curses that we need to break. And all I can encourage you to do is if you're not comfortable walking out there, it's not the pastor's responsibility to win everyone to Jesus, okay? Even though he wants to, and he'll do that, he's looking for everyone here in this lighthouse to wrap your arms around people, invite them in, and love on them, and love them when they're messy, because you can't get better and go to God. You got to go to God, and he'll get you better. I was as messy as they came, folks. I was miserable. I was messy, and you wouldn't have liked me if you knew me. But I'm just thankful I had some men that cared about the messy. They led me to Jesus. I accepted it. And then today, that's what led me here today. So with that, I just want to encourage you to go out, step out of your comfort zone, and just do it. It's simple. If you've got Christ in you, you pray for the Holy Spirit to help you, guide you, and to speak through you, and he'll do it. He'll put people in your path. And then all you got to do is just lead them to the well, okay? So I just want to close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time that you've given us. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to work through us. And Father, I pray that we'll accept the opportunity and the obedience to be the conduits to reach those that are still out there, Father, because there are so many that are hurting. There are so many in our community, Lord Jesus, that we just need to reach. And I pray that you'll put them in our paths starting today. That you'll put them in our paths, Father, so that we can go ahead and get them on that right road. And we will give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the credit. And we just love you. We thank you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Have you ever noticed how God works? I met Steve 2 minutes ago before we came out here.
Yeah.
First quarter this year, I'm preaching on life-changing decisions.
Okay, there you go.
And immediately following our morning worship today, we're going to have a meeting up here of those who want to work on sharing their faith. And we're going to have a conversation about how we can do that. You reckon God sent Stephen here with a message for us today for such a time as this in our life? God is good. I want to thank all the men that have led our worship today. We had 34 that were in our, maybe 35, but at least 34. We don't count real well. And the ladies fed us, but we wanted to come and lead in worship. And I have felt the presence of God. I feel the presence of God in this place as he has spoken to us. And I'm grateful that he used the men's choir and Andrew and Stephen to be the conduit through which he would share a message. And so now we're called to our decision about what God is saying. We're going to sing 572, I Love to Tell the Story. And my goodness, is that what we really do? Do we really love to tell the story? What a powerful story about that sweater. What a powerful story about that sweater. As we sing and God moves in our heart and life, may we respond as God would lead us. Would you stand with me? 572. you'll notice that there's one more page number. That's the doxology. That's how we're going to close our service of worship today. I'm going to ask Stephen, if he will, to come and stand with me. I know you'll want to thank him for being God's messenger for us today. And again, to all the men, and Davis is pushing through with not feeling very well, but he's been a trooper today. Appreciate his leadership in our men's ministry. There are many things coming down the road that we're excited about, and we'll be leading, and appreciate all that have participated in so many ways. Remember, if you want to be a part of either one of the discipleship classes, we're going to meet up here for just a moment to try to get a time, so I may slip away a little bit quick. Y'all are going to have to wait on me just a little bit, but we're going to try just to set a time when we can meet and start those conversations, and I'm looking forward to that. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, we're grateful to have worshiped You today. You have spoken so clearly. You have challenged us so deeply. And we have responded to You, Lord, in our faith. And now may You take us from this place and use us for kingdom work, that we might be sharing those decisions that we love You best and love You most and love You always, that others might see that love and glorify You as well. For it is in Christ's name we praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you, gentlemen. See you Wednesday night at 7:30, right in here. Wednesday night at 7:30.